Welcome back to the Jason Benicki Experience. And I can hear a lot of you saying to yourself, what do you mean, welcome back? This is the first episode on this podcast, on this feed. Well, it is true. This will be the first episode of this podcast on this feed, but it's also a podcast I did a couple of years ago. And now that I've got some time on my hands and the fire to do it again, I am rebooting it and bringing it back, much like Hollywood does with oh so many of the movies. So to give you a brief rundown of what to expect out of this, for any new listeners, typically it's just going to be me, your average middle-aged white man in middle America, talking about whatever catches my fancy that week, whether that's news, politics, pop culture, whatever the case may be. It's just going to be me talking into a microphone for an undetermined amount of length of time. Appreciate anybody who is listening. This will be available on iTunes, Spotify. I'll post it on YouTube after I get a episode or two in the can. I'll start recording to do that. That's going to be part of every one of my podcasts going forward, of which hopefully there'll be a minimum of two different podcasts I'll be doing now, and potentially a third one. So we'll see how that goes going forward to get that third one up and running. But this will be the first one released. Thank you to Anchor.fm for the free hosting platform to give me a place to do this without it costing me any more than I've already spent the ungodly sum of money on equipment and cables and everything else to make this happen. So free hosting is greatly appreciated. And anybody looking to do one, check out Anchor.fm. It's not necessarily the same as Libsyn or anything like that, but it gives you an RSS feed, gives you free hosting, gives you a place to edit it if you need that. And at the end of the day, again, they don't charge you. So it's taken the barrier of entry of podcasting, which is already very low, and made it even lower. And trust me, you don't need to spend all the money I have on equipment, but given that I don't want to just do this into my phone and have low sound quality, I did choose to invest some money in it and do a little bit better job. And I'm testing out a new mixing board that I just got. That's part of why I had to take a break from my last podcast and wait to relaunch it, amongst other projects. Obviously, if you actually know me, then you know I ran for city council in my hometown, and that was a very long 4 months. Unfortunately, I came up 85 votes short, so now I have plenty of free time, because that's the one thing that experience taught me more than anything, is what I was capable of, and also how much free time I had in addition to my work schedule, so that I just needed to stop making excuses as to why I didn't have time to do these things, and instead say, no, really, you have a lot of hours every week that you could have used. I was, out knocking on doors any day I was off, 5, 6, 7 hours. On days I worked, if I got off at 4 or 5, I'd be out for 3 or 4 hours after that doors. It goes the same for anybody out there. If you really want to do something, we all have the hours. Some of us more than others. And some of you have to figure out when those hours are available to you. Luckily enough, I don't have children, so for me, it's basically any hour I'm not working. But if you have kids, there are hours available to you after they go to sleep where you can, live out your passions and put that effort into it. But I don't want to get too deep into that weeds. I'm not here to be a motivational speaker or tell anybody what to do. That's not the goal. Like I said, for me, I'm just the average middle-aged man who wants to talk about news, politics, or pop culture. Whatever catches my eye that week. And like I said, there's no guarantee on the length of these episodes going forward. So don't expect them to be, an hour long. This solo podcast is definitely not going to necessarily have a same time format or a thing like that, similar to a more traditional hour long podcast. Although that's starting to fade away with people doing shorter ones, doing longer ones. Again, we won't get into that either. But also look for me just to generally increase my content output. Been paying a lot of attention to what Gary V does and listen a lot to what he says. So if you're looking for somebody to follow on just ideas on how to create more content and more importantly, just that general idea of, you know, how to take your hobby and turn it into something a little bit more, Gary V on Twitter and Instagram would be a great follow. He's also on Facebook and everything else. And once you follow him on one, you'll find him everywhere because he'll tell you where to find him. But really the first thing I wanted to talk about, because this topic has seen a huge resurgence in documentaries and biopics, and that is the obsession of people with true crimes and serial killers. And I mean, obviously there's a whole true crime category on podcasts, and I want to evaluate really what it tells us about us as people when we obsess about those kind of things, and what it means about who we are and what we're focusing on, if that's what we're doing with our time. You know, obviously the big one with Netflix particularly has been Ted Bundy. You know, he had the Ted Bundy tapes, which is a documentary. Then you have the Ted Bundy biopic, which was where he was played by Zac Efron. At the end of the day, you know, you have to live a pretty comfortable life and a pretty safe existence to want to spend time hearing about crime. You know, I grew up in a marginalized neighborhood, I'll call it. You know, there are literally on my block, on my side of my street that I grew up on, there are two kids that were just a few years younger than me that are currently serving time for murder. That is my neighborhood. So I've never been obsessed with this serial killer narratives, documentaries, anything like that. I did finally watch the Ted Bundy tapes just to kind of get a feel for how he kept slipping through the cracks more than anything. But I didn't have to go out and seek out true crime narratives to get a feel for what true crime feels like. I saw it in my neighborhood every day. You know, I've got friends or people I grew up with anyways. Let's not call them friends, because that's a stretch at this day and age. I don't, you know, have a lot of people I'd call friends, and the ones I do know who they are, and they're definitely not into anything that would look bad on any of us. However, you know, some kids I grew up with have done time for dealing drugs or robberies. Like I said, there are kids on my block who are in prison for murder. There are kids I went to school with in elementary school that are just getting out for murders. And above and beyond that, you know, there's just a lot to be said for when you live in a neighborhood like that, you're not turning on Law and Order SVU. You're not listening to Serial podcast or watching it on the series on HBO. And you definitely don't want to get into the mind of people like Ted Bundy or John Wayne Gacy or the BTK killer, any of those things. But you know who typically is the most obsessed with those. And again, I hope people take some time to evaluate what it says about themselves when this is what they obsess about. And that's people typically, if you want to find your average documentary viewer for a true crime documentary or a true crime podcast, it's typically going to be somebody who's white, somebody who's middle class or affluent, and somebody who's never been exposed to crime on a regular basis. That is why they obsess about it, because to them, it's entertainment. It's not a daily fear. It's not a daily struggle. You know, to them, it's a puzzle trying to be solved. They're trying to figure out how this kind of thing happened, whether it's somebody like Ted Bundy who murdered in excess of 30 people. He admitted to 30, let's call it many more. Let's just be very honest that he admitted to the minimum number possible that they could loosely tie him to. So they gave he gave the cops some confessions to what they were asking about, but he didn't go any further than that, you know? So it takes that comfortableness to want to deal with that. If you are, say, last summer out in front of my house, just across the street, there's a house and then a vacant lot. In that vacant lot was an open air drug market. I don't need to watch, you know, Law and Order SVU or listen to whatever the hottest, latest, greatest true crime podcast is to know what crime is like and to understand it. And I don't want the entertainment version of it, because the entertainment version of this tends to focus on, you know, the high end of crime it doesn't focus on the day-to-day that people have to live with wondering if when they go down to the dollar store, is it going to be the day that their dollar store gets robbed? Or is it going to be the day that their gas station gets robbed? Is it going to be the day that they get carjacked? Is it the day that the house next to theirs is going to get shot up and they accidentally get caught in the crossfire? You know, these are the kind of things that say, if you deal with that on a day-to-day basis, and you have to deal with the anxiety that that creates with that uncertainty, then you're not going to waste your time listening to true crime podcast or watching true crime documentaries or reading true crime biographies or anything of that nature. You just don't have it in you to want to deal with this extra entertainment version of crime, because to you, crime is not entertainment. Crime is a daily stressor. It is part of your life. It is not entertainment. And again, like I said, I guess we have to sit back at the end of the day as people who consume that content, because again, I don't consume much of it. I did enjoy the Firefest documentaries, the Fire Scam, both of those, just mainly because it was middle class and affluent white people who got taken for a ride. So it was entertaining to see how gullible they were and how little attention they paid to all of the warning signs along the way, that wasn't going to be what it was supposed to be. So that one was a little entertaining on my end. But, you know, that's to each their own, because you can kind of say, hey, you guys were suckers. But I'm not going to be an individual. And I guarantee you almost anybody I grew up with is not going to be an individual who sits down and listens to Serial and watches the documentary on it, or goes back and gets obsessed with Casey Anthony or Jody Arias. These are just not things that the average person in a marginalized neighborhood has the time to do, because you're either at work trying to help make your neighborhood a better place, or again, trying to avoid the daily crime you're dealing with. So, you know, it's not to take a shot at the people who create these bits of content, because they're consumers for it. And at the end of the day, you know, that's how a marketplace works, is that there is a desire for a given set of content or a given product or a given set of knowledge, anything, whatever it is, somebody is looking to consume it and somebody has to produce it. So I'm not taking a shot at the people who produce this kind of content. But what I'm saying is, there is, you know, there is a clearly defined market for this, and that's something that we have to evaluate, is what does our desire to consume true crime content tell us about ourselves? So I'm not going to go into the details of any of these kind of documentaries, because like I said, I'm just not the normal consumer. I did find the Ted Bundy biopic more interesting for the one detail that it did learn from it than, say, the Ted Bundy tapes. I mean, there was nothing to be learned from there. He was a psychopath who killed a lot of women and did very horrible things. Like, great, I figured that out from the minute I knew who Ted Bundy was. He was a bad dude who did bad things. An interesting piece of information from the biopic was learning that it was like, A, that he had this long-term girlfriend that he lived with, and she had a kid, and they kind of had this sort of makeshift family, and B, she was one of the people who alerted the police about him being a potential suspect when she saw the sketch. Now, again, is that dramatized for TV? I'd have to do more research. And like I said, I live in a world where I don't want to bury my free time into research about crimes or criminals, because I see it every day and it's not the sensationalized entertainment that they make it out to be. It is awful. It is often, most crime is committed out of, you know, a lack of opportunity and a lack of resources. And it's done just to try and get by. It's not the sociopaths who snap and do awful things, or these people trying to make million-dollar scores. It's typically much more monotonous and routine than that. It's somebody trying to get money to pay a bill, or in a lot of cases, it's to support a drug habit or some other addiction. But that doesn't mean that's always the case. There are plenty of people who are out just doing what they got to do to get grocery money and keep the lights turned on. And again, like I said, it tells us a lot about who we are when we sit back and evaluate that other people's struggle and other people's anxiety and other people's fear and, you know, becomes our entertainment. And like I said, I'm lucky enough to have experienced enough of it that to me it's not entertainment, and it's just a sad reality, and it's not one that I want to experience or want to see or want to use going forward. I think that's going to be it for today. I don't want this first one to go too terribly long. I just wanted it to be a reintroduction, and then we'll see on the regularity of episodes. I know just before I had finished it, I was trying to do one every day or every other day and do them in shorter episodes, you know, 10 to 20 minute markers. I don't think that'll be the case right now, because like I said, I'm trying to get, I've got a second one getting ready to reboot on Sunday podcast, and then I'm hoping to start a third one that's a much more localized focused one. But I wanted to get this first one in the can and out there so I could get the feed up and running. So thank you to anybody who tuned in. Please share with your friends, subscribe, rate, review. All these things help new podcasts, or in this case, a reboot podcast that I'm just using an old name for. And, you know, find us on Facebook. I guess I'm not on Facebook, but you can find me on, I mean, I am, but I'm not giving that out. That's a personal Facebook. I'm on Twitter at JASONBANICKI, and I'm on Instagram at the same handle, JASONBANICKI, and YouTube is the same as well, JASONBANICKI. Like I said, the first few episodes won't be on YouTube, as I'm just getting used to the equipment and making some adjustments there. But as that goes along, then what I'll do is I will, you know, start recording these and putting the video together with the audio for YouTube, as along with, like I said, I'll be on Spotify. I'll share it out on Twitter to get on iTunes in the next day or two. And from there, once the RSS feed is out, you know, I'll get it on, you know, a lot of channels, places will grab it up, and I'll update you as we can. But thank you once again. My name is Jason Benicki, and thanks for tuning in to the Jason Benicki Experience. Hope you have a great day.